Hope. How many need hope? How many want hope? How many has hope? You hear so much with the politicians anymore, that seems to become their catchphrase. Hope. We have hope. And we do have hope. But it's not in the politicians. It's hope that we have in God. Because we all need hope. Life can be hard at times. And we have to endure bad days along with good days. And no amount of tears can bring that to an end. Most of us face difficult times more often than we would like. Yet, as difficult as life can be, hope guides us and gets us through the storms of life. Take away hope, and even the small things that challenge us in this life can crush us. And as we look at the big picture in this world, we see hopeless situations all around. It doesn't take much more than just turn on the news and you see all the hopelessness around the world. Abuse, divorce, murder, famine, rape. Turning on the news this morning, seeing all those people gunned down in Turkey at a New Year's Eve celebration. Terrorism, whether it's radical Islamic terrorism or just plain old terrorism, it's so sad. People evidently don't have any hope. How can you serve a God that wants you to go out and kill people? The hope that we have is that we serve a God who died so that we may live and that we have hope. Somehow, God intends us to live. Why is that? Don't know. But thankfully, we're glad that God intends us to live because the gift of life was given to us. The Bible tells us the true story of how God created us. In our world, how we fell away from the original design. You know, he is the original designer. And then he gave us an owner's manual that we can follow. And then what happened? We have some of our ancestors that fell away and disobeyed God. And sin entered in. Tells us about that in the first book of the Bible, Genesis. That God created everything, plants and trees and birds and animals and you and me, and he created the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, in his own image, and declared that all he made was very, very good. But look around. What happened? How did things go from being very, very good to being very, very bad? How did the relationship between God and his creation get so messed up? The one word answer is a very little three-letter word, sin. Called by any other name is sin. You know, all sin is sin. Not one is bigger than the other. Sin is sin. Sin is any action through thought, word, or deed violates God's loving standard. Because God is an all-loving God and all-good, and we can say that sin simply is not being like God. Now, we are not God, but we are created in God's image. God loved us so much that he wants us to freely choose to love and to follow him. Genuine love cannot be forced on us. That's why God created humanity with the ability to choose whether to love him and follow him or just turn away. We have that choice. In the beginning, he gave Adam and Eve clear instructions about a simple matter, a fruit tree, if you would. Now, I don't know what kind of fruit tree it was. Most likely wasn't an apple tree, but it's a good analogy and it works good. It was probably a tree that was full of the fruit of the Spirit. I got me a new Christmas gift. My daughter bought me because I need water up here on the altar. And she said, you know, you ought to have something official, whether since you got it sitting up there on the altar, rather than that old bottle that you have. So she had it made for me, and I think it's pretty cool. Then on the back got my name, so I can't lose it. But you and I were all born with a spiritual disease. And as we can see by our ongoing choices throughout our life, our universal condition is that we no longer, what happens as we get into that, then we no longer trust God. Instead, we live a life on our own terms. And I say we, I'm including myself in that, and all of creation. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we live our life on our own terms, hoping that everything will turn out, hoping everything will turn out as we imagine that it should be. Although God stamped his image on us, sin distorts that image. Our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions often go against how God created us to live because sin corrupts our desire to do the right thing. In our broken condition, where do we find hope? The Bible makes it very clear that everyone falls short of the glory of God. Perfect standard for living, including great people that we truly respect and love. Billy Graham in his old age, we admire Billy Graham. Mother Teresa, who's now went home to be with the Lord, and many other people like that were great people. But they also had this sin problem built in within them. God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us, giving us a mark, not laws that we can adhere to because it's near impossible to adhere to all of them. But if we mess up like David did, Lord, forgive me and repent. That's why David was called a man after God's own heart, because he lived under that Ten Commandments thing and he realized, well, the biggest thing that he messed up on was adultery. Forgive me, Lord. Repent. Since the beginning, you know what the death rate for humanity has been since the beginning of time? 100%. Unless the Lord comes for us, which I believe that we could be the generation to see the return of the Lord, unless he comes for us, that's something that we're all going to face someday in our life. The Bible explains our situation, though. Physical death and eternal separation from God is not permanent. It is only going from life to life if we trust God who sent his son, Jesus Christ. It's a precious gift. Now, if you remember, Adam and Eve didn't die instantly, but spiritual death, spiritual separation from God did occur when they sinned. That's when they realized that they were naked. They didn't know they were naked up until that. It means that we have been given a second chance in life, even way back from the Garden of Eden to this day. We have second chance, third chance, fourth chance, many chances to get our life straightened out. Because God loved us so much that he couldn't just let us stay in this broken condition of this life. The Bible said it's because the wages of sins is death, that there's only one way to pay for it once and for all, and that would be through the death of his own son, who hung on the cross, taking all the sins of the world across of Calvary. The person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who has done all of this for us, if we only believe. The Bible says, believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you'll be saved. Jesus came, as I mentioned before, fully human and fully God, experiencing everything that we experience, all the hardship, all the suffering, living in this damaged world that we had. But he never sinned. This qualified Jesus to pay for all the wrongdoings. Though his life was perfect, he also had to experience that thing called death and then the resurrection, breaking that bondage over sin and death, because the sin debt was paid with Christ's blood and it has continued over to us. Not only did Jesus pay the price on our behalf, but he did so willingly. Romans chapter 5 tells us that people might be willing to lie down their lives for a good person, but it's highly unusual for anyone to lay down their life for a scoundrel. Look what the disciples did and the apostles. They laid down their life for Jesus. They didn't lay their life down because he was a scoundrel. They knew that he was God manifested in the flesh. That's why we have a church today and why we have so much faith in the church, is because the apostles and different things, they understood what Jesus did for them. Even though there's nothing that we can do to earn God's love and save ourselves from sin and death, we still have a choice. That series that I want to start next week and run for 8 weeks, and it's called Healing Choices Through the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel and the 12 steps of the recovery programs that we have, which is all biblically rooted choices. But we can be healed through our choices also. Belief makes a difference in our life. You got to believe in something. A lot of people believe in the wrong things. But if you believe that God did humble himself and come in the form of a human being like Jesus Christ, trust and believe in Jesus can overturn any hopelessness that you might experience. And when you accept that something is true, it changes what you do. So if you accept that Christ is real and true, it changes what we do. We can now know that we can go to the altar and ask for forgiveness, or we can participate in Holy Communion, remembering what God has done for us. The good news is that it's all about what God does in you. Salvation is a free gift. And regardless how badly you might be damaged, it don't matter where you've been, what you've done, no matter how bad you've been bandaged, got into all kind of crazy relationships, and you name it, you're worthy because of what Christ done. Jesus paid the price, and you are forgiven. It's a free gift. Salvation is available to everyone at any time. Salvation has nothing to do with obeying a set of rules or feelings. Salvation simply comes by saying, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I trust you." And when you accept Jesus on his terms for salvation, it's an agreement that can be ratified forever and ever. Your salvation is secured. That restoration program has begun, a good work in you. The scripture says, God will be faithful to complete a good work that he started in you. As we continue on, we don't ever obtain spiritual perfection in this life. We claim spiritual progress. And that's what Wesley did. He understood that this life has got its challenges, and we get pruned all the way through life. Because life is tough. There's no doubt about that. But a life touched by hope through Christ gives us dreams that were fulfilled. The Bible also helps us understand who God is and what it means to love and to obey him, and what his plans are for his people, his creation. And there's a variety of ways that you can do that. There's many good Bibles that's available now. Good translations, paraphrases is okay. Some of the ones now are laid out like a novel. They're good for reading and edification. But a good translated Bible is worth its weight in gold because it gives you all the answers to life. So the Bible is an important part as we go into this new year. And if you haven't been on a regimen of reading your Bible, Our Daily Bread gives you a good way to go through the Bible in 1 year. Upper Room has a lot of different scriptures and so forth in it that you can do. But the other thing you can do, the most important thing, and you can do it anywhere, any time of the day or night, even waking up in the middle of the night, and that's pray. Talk to God. That's all praying is. Believe me, I talk to him a lot. A lot of times people might be behind me in the store or someplace and say, "What'd you say?" I said, no, I was talking to God. Oh, okay. Look at me like I'm crazy. But you can do it. Believe me, I need help almost every second of the day. The other good thing you can do, and you already have done this, this is what I know of this church, the history of this church, and I hope and pray that we can get some that's drifted away from this church to come back, because this church has touched a lot of lives over the years. There's nothing like participating in a church that is full of God's grace, full of the teaching of the Bible and the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship. There's nothing like a church like Bethel. There's many people that tell me years that they have been here and drifted away and maybe went other places, that tell me stories about how much Bethel has meant to them over the years. This relationship with Christ can develop. Oh, yeah, I'm reading devotional books and all that kind of stuff is important. But the most important thing about that is your own personal interaction with God through Christ and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we confuse the Holy Spirit with our conscience, but it's God's way of letting us know. If you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, nobody has to come up and tap you on the shoulder. You know. You know. You're wired that way. You know. But we also have the ability to shut it down and keep on going in the wrong path. And this is something for you to think about and to as throughout the whole year. There's a place in the back when you're all done with this, if you want to sign it, keep it to some place where You do your devotions and so forth. There's something about signing a document. You're telling God, yeah, God, I want a covenant with you. Don't have to. You don't have to do it today. You might not want to do it later. But think about the things that Wesley put together in this covenant relation service.